It's time for WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Joe Costello here on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and everywhere else that you can get an internet connection. You can hear a little WFO. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We got another great week of content for you, kicking it off with the NHRA's Alan Reinhart. Oh, yes. Alan will be joining us just seconds from now. As you know, Alan, the voice of the NHRA, and they time it. They got us figured out, man, out there in Glendora, California. Like, okay, is WFO off the air? Yes. Release the news. No, they were a day later, to be fair. And the NHRA schedule is now out. We know about the two July races and then on to Seattle. A lot of food for thought. And we will discuss just seconds from now with Alan Reinhart. And then something we've been doing the past couple of weeks, one lucky listener selected by me will get the chance at a random victory with Alan Slot Machine, the WFO radio masks that I've been sending out. And they've been very popular, by the way. I intend to go bracket racing this weekend as well. We'll connect with Alan. But first, let me tell you about the people who support WFO radio. Big thanks to Holly Performance last week for supporting our week of content. We had Robin Lawrence and Blaine Burnett talking EFI fuel systems. It was tremendous. You can definitely go back to that show, the show with Steve Johnson and Jock. And what a surprise that Steve brought us right into the hospital room with his crew member Jock, and we got a thumbs up. We got to communicate with him. That was all like live. I had no idea it was going to happen. We had some really amazing stuff happen in the past couple of weeks on WFO Radio. And if you're new to the show, obviously like the Facebook page, follow us on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and everywhere. All the social channels all got WFO Radio, and check it out. And it's because of the people who support us, like Marvin Rodak, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com, hot sauces and spice rubs, gourmet coffee roasted fresh per your order. And when you get a bag of Rodak's coffee in the mail, you know it because the aroma just comes right through the packaging, and it will start your day off right for a long time. You can get it ground or full bean. I go full bean because I have a grinder and I like to think I'm in a laboratory making something for myself. And it is great stuff. Marvin Rodak, big supporter of WFO Radio. Also, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, had Lake Speed Jr. on a few weeks ago and also had Lake on Performance TV this past week. Those of you watching on Motor Trend Network, 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, the show is back for the end of the season through the end of June. And that's that for the 2020 season of Performance TV. Glad to get Total Seal on there and learn more about their gas-ported rings and how much power lies in those piston rings. And speaking of that, we've got a new episode of Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal, the podcast. And I've been teasing everybody with this one little clip because, you know, everybody in drag racing, we all know that this is Jason Lyon's final season as a driver. Although I think we should try to talk him out of it because this has not really been a final season at all. But we'll get to that point when we get to that point. But many of you know that he worked at Joe Gibbs Racing prior to. And Mark Cronquist, the head engine builder at Joe Gibbs Racing, is the guest on Hidden Horsepower with Total Seal, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, write us a review. And he told us a Jason Lyon story.
I have to tell a story about Jason Lyon. This is the greatest story I have about Jason.
And he tells us the story, and I think that should be a good reason for you to go on there and subscribe to the podcast. Total Seal Piston Ring supporting WFO. Also, samtech.edu getting ready for a new episode of Factory Stock Podcast as they will be coming back. They got an 8-race schedule so far, and I'm so looking forward to seeing those cars back. We're in a new world. It's like a second offseason has happened. Do they have all the parts? Do they have all the pieces? I'm sure they do, but it's all about Samtech and all you young people out there who are thinking, think now about a career. Which careers are recession proof? Well, I don't want to say racing is recession proof, but people are really going to try really, really hard to keep it alive. The entertainment and the fun of racing and engine building, those things, whether it be working on over the road trucks, fleet vehicles, you can get the knowledge at samtech.edu, programming, CNC machines, etc. And of course, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, their classes up and running, maybe a little bit smaller, social distancing in place, doing it the right way. I salute them, what they're doing, Frank and Lana, but I really appreciate them supporting our show. And now you know that at any point, things can change dramatically. You might as well go drive a dragster as soon as you possibly can. Go to frankhawley.com. NHRAnitro.com. All right, before we go any further, let's bring him in. He is the voice of the National Hot Rod Association at NHRA National Events, two of which will be happening just about 1 month from now in Indianapolis, Indiana. Here he is, the voice of NHRA, Alan Reinhardt. AR, how you doing?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing well. How about you? You know, you said, talking about Samtech, that, you know, racing is recession-proof-ish.
Ish.
Let me tell you, being an automotive technician is recession-proof, period.
Later.
Because when times are good, people are buying cars. You got to fix cars. And when times are tough, people are not buying cars. Cars are getting more miles on them, and they got to be fixed. You want to be recession-proof, be a technician. I promise you.
Well, this kind of piggybacks on the conversation we had a week ago about the YES program and all the young people. And if I could go back, you know, I like working on cars, but I had no idea it was going to go where it went with the computers. And like, it's really cool. The tune, I would love to know how to do. My friend Fuzz came over and put a tune in my LS2 GTO that my dad owns that I'm going to show you in a little bit. And just sitting there with a laptop, working on maps and ratios, and it looked like, I mean, he didn't get dirty. He just sat there and clicked on a keyboard and made the car faster by a lot over stock. And who knew it was going to go there? This next generation of technicians, they're getting foundational knowledge, and I agree. People are going to be messing with vehicles.
You know, you talk about doing stuff like that. It's classical thing, and a guy told me, this was probably 10 years ago when I believe it was at one of the import races, and I was out there, and the guy's doing kind of the same thing with the laptop. And I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, really? What? I mean, and the guy looked at me, and I mean, he was deadly serious. And he said, what you do with wrenches and screwdrivers, I do with an up and a down key and the enter button. He said, you know, I want to change my timing. I change it here. I want to change my fuel curve. I change it here. I want to change. And it's all still hot rodding. It's just using whatever technology is available to you. So, but no, that's one thing. And at the YES program, we talk about it all the time. You know, Bob Tasca has said a million times in the 75 years or whatever it is now that his family's been in business, he has never laid off a senior technician, ever, no matter what. Because no matter how bad things get, if the economy dives, if you get into whatever, then people are fixing their cars and your technicians are even more important. So that's my Samtech. And you know, if you live in Arizona, go to UTI because I'm a UTI guy.
Well, there are enough young students to go to all of these schools. And also, I like to throw in the patriotism thing. Like, we need these people, man. We need them. It's not just like, hey, you know, it'll be fun for you. Our country needs handy, smart, hands-on people who know how to do and fix and make and build, and they're going to be in demand in many different facets over the years. Massengill talks about, you know, how many people that have gone through their school that end up working at Boeing, right, or someplace that has a CNC machine that's got nothing to do with racing or race cars, but they got that foundational knowledge. A country that is successful must have those people, and so I feel there's a you know, future of America angle to the whole thing. But, you know, our sport, we always talk about how it, you know, it comes in the wake of the World War II victory. All these GIs coming back with this sense of adventure and knowledge. You know, just going back to work on the farm was not as interesting anymore. Let's go race.
Yeah, you're right. And I actually had a conversation with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and the talk was about, you know, you always talk about, you know, there's six mechanics that work on this car. There's seven mechanics that work on this car. You know, those are technicians, you know, and mechanic, I think, to a number of people still kind of conjures up the image of the, you know, guy under the tree in the backyard kind of thing, you know, banging away on something. But when you're dealing with the horsepower that these cars are making, tolerances, I mean, that's not a mechanic. That is a technician. That is a very highly skilled. You know, I think the only time Warren Johnson ever got a hammer out was to change valve springs. Everything else on that car was just so technical that, you know, you need some extra training and you need some. So anyway, I don't know. We got started off on the sidetrack just right off the bat this week, didn't we?
Well, we do have the NHRA schedule that we can talk about, but I actually really enjoyed last week's show and hope people go back and listen. And it's funny how we have X amount that listen live, right? And they can interact. Those of you out there on Facebook or YouTube, if you have a question for Alan, by all means, submit it. And we'll do our best with what we've got. But all week long, the numbers go up. Shows, old shows in the WFO radio archive, depending on the conversation, certain guests, they are constantly growing. And the WFO Radio podcast feed, it's, you know, the whole feed, like all the shows from, you know, January, December, you know, we're getting like 10,000 plays every week from, you know, 7 days running. People go back and listen to old stuff. That conversation was great because it was timeless. It was just about, you know, drag racing, the career of drag racing, what it takes to be involved. And I agree. You know, it's funny you mentioned mechanic versus technician, right? I always felt that there was something that happened. My dad, who was a mason, right, working with concrete, block, brick, that kind of stuff. Also very technical if you're going to do it right. Just like anything else, you can do anything. Like I could get out there and build a brick porch. It might not be very good, but it will be made of brick. There's a skill to everything. And there was a period where I felt like there was maybe a little, to use a modern term, you know, shaming of the people who worked with their hands, right? Like mechanic versus technician. Like the idea that we even think, but you're right. There are people think, oh, mechanic, I don't want to be a mechanic. But a technician, I'll be a technician because it's technical as opposed to mechanical. That whole thing, I hope it's gone. I hope it goes away because if you work hard and you can be creative and you love what you do and you're passionate about it, that's a win.
I would agree with that. And I think, you know, and if you don't have to go back that far. I mean, you know, when I was younger, maybe that is going back that far. But, you know, your car got a bad water pump, you take it to the mechanic replaced the water pump. You know, your alternator went out, you take it to the mechanic replaced the alternator. You know, open the hood of a car, any car that's been built in the last 20 years. And it's not just look, the water pump's leaking. Let's, you know, you've got to really go a little further in depth to know exactly what's wrong, what needs to be fixed, and then how to fix it is a whole different thing as well. And I think that's somewhere along there is where mechanic turned into technician. And even though, you know, on a Top Fuel car, for instance, there's not really much diagnostic that goes on between rounds, right? The car makes a run down the racetrack, you come back, you put 8 new pistons and rods in it, you put a new set of heads on it, you put it all together. So that is very mechanical. But the guys that go through and prepare all the stuff and make sure that those pistons are ready to go in, make sure the cylinder heads are perfect, that's very technical. And so that's, you know, where kind of the line maybe be blurry between the mechanic and the technician. But I think that, at least in my mind, technician is a whole lot more in-depth. You know, anybody can change a water pump on a small block Chevy in a 1965 anything. Right? There's 8 bolts. 4 take the fan off, 4 take the water pump off. That's really not that difficult.
I got you.
But to dive in and figure out why, you've got to check engine light. And I mean, literally, I've got a gentleman who works across the fence from me in my complex. There is a full service auto shop, and they do a lot of late model, he's got a, 12 or 13 something Jeep over there right now that has a late model Hemi in it that has a check engine light. Now, a mechanic isn't going to fix that.
No.
You need a technician to fix that.
Got it.
And then go in and do, you know, the in-depth dive and find out that the reason the check engine light is on is because you're getting a bad signal from the oil pressure switch. Okay, now you need to replace the oil pressure switch. But the mechanic isn't going to be able to figure that out. You need to be a technician in order to work on the cars that are coming out today. And, you know, that's why you need a little extra education. You know, when I was a kid, I hung out literally with a local hot rodder. He was a couple of doors down. He had a 40 Ford, had a 396 and a 4-speed in it. And when I was 12 years old, that was the coolest car on the planet. And, you know, going for a ride in it was the most awesome thing in the world. But he was a mechanic. Everybody in the neighborhood would bring stuff over and he would fix it. He wouldn't have been able to diagnose the stuff these days with the training he had those days. But you could learn what you needed to do back then just by hanging out, by watching, and everything was very mechanical. Today, everything is very technical, and that's why you need extra education and extra training. But I guarantee you, if you have a technician certificate, whether it's ASC, general service, or whether it is specific, you know, to Mopar, to Ford, to whoever, you're never going to starve. I mean, never. I told the story before. I literally was sitting in Bob Tasca's office one time. We were sitting there chit-chatting about racing and sponsorship and this and that, just, you know, various things in the world. And his receptionist buzzed back and said, I have a master tech online free that's looking for a job. And Bob said, Reinhardt, get out. Pick the phone up, talk to the guy. And before he hung the phone up, hired the guy, had arranged to pay all of his moving expenses. The guy was coming from Nebraska or someplace. And his wife's family was from New England, wanted to come back there. But a senior master technician called and said, I want a job. And Bob said, you're hired. How fast can you get here? And so, you know, if you are that level, and it takes some training, you know, it's not going to happen in 2 months. But if you put in the commitment to do that, you're never going to starve. and you're always going to continue learning, because the cars that they make 5 years from now are going to be different from the cars they make now. So it is kind of a continuing adventure. You're not going to be doing the same thing all day, every day, because every time a machine pulls in, it's a little bit different, trying to diagnose and trying to fix. And that's part of the reason I like the machine shop stuff. You know, I like the imagination as much as anything. I had my GPS, the little plastic thumb thing, you know, that activates the plastic lever that activates the suction cup that holds it on the windshield, broke. I go on Amazon, it's $3. I got a mill. I got a piece of something. I'm going to make one.
Let's make one.
And I really enjoy doing that. Just some of the imagination stuff, some of the, how can I make this? What can I do? You know, my 67 Mustang, if you ever get a chance to see the lower radiator mount, they are the coolest billet radiator mounts you've ever seen in your life. And the only time anybody's ever going to see them is if they're standing here and I have the radiator out of the car. You can't see them when the radiator's in place. But I know they're there. And, you know, I could have bought something. I could have done something. But I got a machine shop. You know what? I just like playing around with stuff. And I really enjoy doing that. And I'm not going to make 500 lower mounts for my radiator. If I was, that's why I need a CNC machine, right? Somebody spit those things out one every 30 seconds. But I just like the imagination. I like turning the handles. I like doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, and being a technician is kind of the same thing. It's not maybe quite as physical, but every time something comes in, it's a new challenge. It's, you know, to be diagnosed and then to be repaired and then to be sent on its happy way. And that takes a technician, not a mechanic.
There you go. No, I like it. I like the explanation. And so does our resident Pro Stock Crew Chief listener, Mike Heiner, who is out there. Well explained, Alan. All right, let's dive into the schedule, in that it was announced last week, Brian Lones and Phil Burgess both jumped on and went race by race. But I think the big story is the back-to-back races in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Raceway, the first of which being July 11th and 12th, and the second which a week later, the 18th and 19th, both Mellow Yellow Series events, both with fans in attendance, although a limited number. People with tickets to the U.S. Nationals and NHRA members are able to get tickets to that. Pro Stock at the first. And let's just talk about those two races now that they are official, on the schedule, hopefully reality.
Yeah, and I'm certain that they're going to happen. I think, and these are my words, not NHRA's words, but I really look at it as a soft launch. You know, we want to get back into this. We want to try this. We want to see what it's going to take, what we need to do. The teams, the Nitro teams, the vast majority of them are based in the Indianapolis area. You know, Brownsburg is just down the street. Pro Stock teams are going to have to travel, obviously, but we're trying to do a soft launch. And since it's a facility that's owned by NHRA, there wouldn't be any, okay, well, let's have a meeting with this guy and let's have a meeting with this guy. And let's have, it's like, look, this is what we're going to do. Okay, look, we need to do more in this area, or we need to do something different over here. They're going to be able to react to that all very quickly. And I think the reason of doing them there, one, it's very easy on the Nitro teams, that, you know, no travel expense, no none of that kind of stuff. Two, if there's anything that needs to be adjusted, the vast majority of the teams are there, right? It's like, oh, gee, we need to do, let's run back to our shop and get this, or let's run back and make this, or let's do whatever we need to do. It can be done there. And then you, I think, will have a system in place so that the next one on the schedule is Seattle. And it'll be a matter of then, you know, NHRA will be able to reach out to Jason Fiorito and, you know, to the Vandermeer family next. And, to, you know, as the schedule goes on, and go, okay, look, guys, here's the protocol. Here's the deal. We tried it. We know this will work. We know this won't work. This is what we need to do going forward as we continue to get the ball rolling. And I think that, you know, I think it's good planning. I think it's a good plan. You know, let's go someplace and have, and again, my word, soft launch, to just make sure that everything we want to do and everything we need to do is going to work out the way we want it to before we end up 1,000 miles from home going, oh, dude, we never thought of that. We're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to make an adjustment. So, and I applaud NHRA for doing it. I think that the vast majority of the teams are behind it. The people that I've talked to have all given them like thumbs up, you know, hey, let's go, let's get this, you know, let's make it happen. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit more of a laid-back show, I think. You know, there won't be Lucas cars at either one of the events. They are going to run a super quick and top dragster program, sportsman program, Division 3 at the first one. They're going to run some other stuff at the second one. but we're just trying to get everybody back on the road and get it rolling. I also was really fascinated when I saw that NASCAR / IndyCar was not going to have fans for therefore the July race in Indianapolis, because I really thought they would. The state of Indiana has okayed that for whatever reason. They decided not to. But I think that that puts an even bigger spotlight on NHRA, and that we are going to be the first major sport. And yes, I do know that there have been, you know, some sprint car events and some other tracks and some smaller events that have allowed fans in the stands. But I think we're going to be the major. We're certainly going to be the first major televised sport that has fans in attendance, even though it's limited numbers. And that's going to put us under a very bright spotlight. So that's part of the reason, again, that I think they wanted to do a soft launch. Let's make sure we've got all the protocols in place that we need before we take this show on the road.
The crew members can all stay in their own houses, in their own beds. It's where they live. It's easier to do. And people maybe haven't thought of just all the different momentary interactions that happened in the past that might have to be modified, right? It, like simple things like, you know, interviews, et cetera. We see what NASCAR has done with the boom microphone they're using for the drivers, et cetera. They've done a good job, but no fans in attendance. So I like it too. And you've got to take your first step before you can take your second. You got to walk before you can run. There's a whole bunch of different analogies. And I'm just happy that they are going to go out there and work it out and putting a lot of thought into it. We're going to get our cars going again. Going to get some cars on track. And I am hoping that this is also maybe a reintroduction of drag racing. The news that went out on AP about the return to the schedule and everything got picked up everywhere. Jason Logan told us on the Happy Hour show on Friday that he was listening to sports radio or something in Orlando, and they mentioned that the National Hot Rod Association is coming back in July with fans. Like, that is that's a big deal. And so maybe we can reintroduce this amazing sport to so many people who it's in the back of their mind, but they moved on to other things for whatever silly reason.
And we also, the first four, which are the two Indy events and then the Seattle and Denver, are on Sunday, Final Eliminations, on the Fox National Broadcast Network. Not FS1, not cable, but it's going to be on the actual Fox Broadcast Network. And that's going to be big. You know, the NASCAR ratings have been off the charts, and in large part because there's nothing else on, right? I mean, I've found myself a couple of times kind of surfing through the channels going, oh, yeah, football. Oh, yeah, it's the 2002 championship, something that, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And if I don't remember who won the race then, or who won the game, then, yeah, it's but it's not live. It's not right now. It's not. And NASCAR is. And so that's a big reason why they're getting such huge numbers. Well, we are going to be on the Fox Broadcast Network. And unlike NASCAR, we are going to have fans in the stands. So I think we're going to get a lot of new eyeballs. And we need to put our best foot forward. We need to show fans, A, if you haven't followed us for a while or if you don't know anything about NHRA, but you're just watching it because there's nothing else on, let's show them something that'll make them want to watch again. And if you are a fan that is kind of maybe on the fence about, I don't know if I want to go out, I don't know if I want to get in the crowd, I don't know if I want to do this, let's show them. We have put fans in the stands. We have protocols in place. We have things out here. And we would love to have you come visit sometime, whether you are a returning fan, whether you are a 10-year fan, or whether this is the first time you've really looked at NHRA and now you want to see it in person. So it's important, I think, for us to put our best foot forward. And there's a lot of effort going into this, a lot of meetings, a lot of phone calls, a lot of stuff to make sure that all of this goes well. And I think, again, that's why they're doing it in Indy. So we're going to take everything we think we know, put it on a racetrack the first weekend, look at whatever tweaks and whatever changes need to be adjusted, put it on the track the second weekend, and hopefully by then we'll have a protocol in place that it'll be, okay, boys, load up and let's head for Seattle. We know what we have to do, and that's what we're going to do going forward.
Excellent, excellent. Now, comments out there on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can submit them. I feel like the social angle of this broadcast, technically speaking, is working a little slowly today. Like, Doug, with the question, will those be live on Fox, came in after Alan's answer. So maybe I'm seeing them a little late, or Alan just had a premonition or otherwise. But yes, Exactly. And Justin saying thank you for the T-shirt. People may recall Justin won the T-shirt on Alan's Slot Machine at the conclusion of this interview. One lucky listener, maybe someone who asks a good question, will get an opportunity to win a WFO mask on the Haywire Deluxe Machine. Did you see that the Vegas casinos are open? Did you see some of those videos coming from inside the casinos? The Cosmo was like jam-oni packed, man. It was a wild party in there. I don't know. I'd rather go to a drag race.
I think, you know, you need to start. And I don't know exactly what their protocols are. I believe that they have a percentage that they're shooting for as well, like, you know, everybody does. I don't know exactly how they determine that, if it's, you know, percentage of hotel capacity, percentage. I just don't know.
Right.
But, you know, at some point, you've got to start going back to work. I was speaking to people at the Vandermeer Speedway last weekend. They've got, you know, some races, some events going on up there, just, you know, bracket racing and doing stuff. And they're doing their social distancing and they're taking care and they're doing. And she said that, you know, what they're having to do now is look at where we're at. You know, we are at, with the racers we have, with the fans that we have, with the, you know, and again, bracket racing isn't going to pack the grandstand. So they look at this and say, okay, we are at 6% capacity for the facility, or we are at 8% capacity for the facility. And that is well below what is allowed in Colorado right now. So, you know what, they just keep kind of marching on, keep working towards, you know, some of the bigger events. Again, they're going to be the second stop after we leave Indy will be Thunder Mountain. So, you know, they're working on their protocols and putting everything in place up there. And I think that's kind of what everybody's doing right now. You know, you mentioned taking the first step. You got to start somewhere. Let's get out there. Let's see what we can do, what's possible. And, you know, if adjustments need to be made going forward, they will.
Simple as that. Well, here's an answer. I do not know the answer to this, Alan. I do not have this. What's that?
Four courts? Yeah, that was Bob Fry's answer to everything. Four courts.
Oh, okay.
I've adopted that. Not the answer to this question?
No, I don't. Well, any details on media in attendance?
Four courts.
Yeah.
Not that I have. I know in one of the conversations that I had last week was, what are we going to do with things like number one qualifiers? Okay, number one qualifiers, it's always been protocol. Well, you know, they come into the media room and they do an interview and the media can ask a question or get a sound bite or do whatever they need to do. I don't know what's going to be in place now, you know, and what we were kicking around was, you know, different possibilities. What can we do? I don't think that they want to have 75 people all packed in the media room and then bring a driver in to answer questions. So that's one of the things that's being worked on. What's going to be the new protocol? What do we need to do going forward? You know, winner circle is another one. What is going to be the new protocol? What are we going to do? You know, obviously on these first couple of races, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here, we will not have the traditional pre-race ceremony. We're just not going to have fans crowding down on the starting line. We can't do that and keep social distance. We are not going to have the Sunday morning track walk, at least not to start, because again, you can't put that many people in that proximity, at least not to start. So we're going to just kind of soft launch this thing and do what we've got to do and see where we go from there. So if you're planning on coming out, you know, I don't know where they stand on ticket sales right now. I know that they were going to reach out first, I believe, to U.S. Nationals ticket holders and then to NHRA members and give, you know, our core customers get the first shot since there's not going to be allowed full capacity. But if you are buying tickets, if you are coming out, it is not going to be a normal full-blown national event. You know, we're not going to have Nitro School. We're not going to have the Pit Tours. What we're doing here is putting cars on the racetrack. We're going to start there. And then we'll start building the other programs, you know, that came from there. You know, another thing that I read right now is up in the air, you know, the YES program, which has been part of NHRA for over 30 years. What are we going to do with the YES program?
Right.
You know, A, it probably wouldn't be good to have 1,000 students all come out and congregate. And B, nobody's going to school anyway. So where does that leave the YES program? And that's one of the things that, you know, going forward, we're going to be taking a look at, we're going to be working on. Is there something else we can do? Is there something different we can do? And nobody knows at this point. We're learning it as we go.
Learning as we go. Okay, Marvin Rodak out there, RodaksCoffeeAndGrills.com. Are we going to see Joe and Alan at the Texas Motorplex? Oh, the big match race that he was talking about. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen this year. I just hope to be there, period. That's my attitude about all of this. I am happy for whatever it is that happens. Randy says, you know, thoughts on Route 66 Joliet not having a race. I know my thoughts, which are like local governments are doing what they got to do depending on their health situation. Yeah. And if that's the call, that's the call. And so that race is going down to the ATL, which it's great for ATL. They can do it.
Yeah, and you know that I don't believe that was NHRA's decision in any way, shape, or form. I think, as you said, it was local government that is not going to allow. And if they're in a situation where they can't, I completely understand that, right? I'm not calling out, come on, let us race. If you feel like in your vicinity, and that's a big reason that, you know, so many of the governors, not so many, that the governors are making their decision, because the right thing to do in Colorado may not be the right thing to do in New Jersey. So you can't have just a national plan to go, okay, here's what everybody's going to do from coast to coast, because the regions are different. You know, if you tried to govern New York City like you govern Topeka, Kansas, they're just so completely different. You can't do that. And that's why the governors are making the decisions. And if they don't feel like in Chicago, they will be in position to have large groups of people like we're planning to have at the race, then I completely understand. I'm disappointed. I hate it for our Chicago fans. I hate it for me. I love going to Chicago. It's a fun town. But you know, I understand that we got to do what we got to do. And so that's what we're doing. And that's part of the reason it took so long to put together the schedule we have in place right now, because you couldn't just mandate, this is what we're going to do everywhere. You had to check with everywhere and see if this was going to be allowed there when we get there. And some of that stuff is still a question mark. I mean, we honestly don't know for sure some of the things that are a little bit further out, but the decisions and the schedule is put out based on, if the trend is going this way, then we believe by September, we will be able to go ahead and do this. So let's plan for it. And if something happens down the line and we can't, then adjustments will be made.
Well, exactly. And to put it all into perspective, they still don't really know how the virus works. We're seeing all kinds of new and conflicting news, like asymptomatic versus not symptomatic. Does it live on surfaces? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't. Those kind of things. We are still, it hasn't been that long. If you really think about it, this thing kind of emerged in January, and here we are in June, half a year, we've gone through this accelerated experience, and we're already talking about how we can get back. Al wants to know if you're going to be in the tower at New England Dragway for the regional in July. Okay, that's a mystery, one of those mysterious things out there. Dale says, you guys are awesome, keeping it real, killing the rumors. I need a super gas, super comp to the lanes from Allen. I'm ready to see you both at the Gators.
I can't wait to get back. I don't want to waste it. You know, this one, okay, maybe just listen up in the pits. Oh, attention in the pits. Does that work with earbuds? I never even thought about that. But, yeah, let's get super gas and super competitive in the staging lanes, please.
I like it.
I do want to know, you know, you talked about, you know, all of the live interaction we have and the fact that fans watch this. You know, your WFO fans don't always watch it live. If anybody's watching this, has a question or comment, and goes, oh, man, I never get to see it, send me an email. I'm really easy to get a hold of. I am announcer@nhra.com. And if it's something for Joe, I have, you know, I can forward it back to him. But we can go get, but we'll find an answer. If there's something that, if you're seeing this after the live broadcast and you've got something you want to comment on, or you want to, announcer@nhra.com will come to me.
Good to see Mike Adams out there watching along on Facebook. Appreciate it. No, I agree. And earlier, I want to get back to it. We mentioned like winner circle and press room protocols. I don't know this for certain, but I have been watching what NASCAR has been doing, and they have been using Zoom, which is a technology very similar to this that we're using right now. And boy, does it work so conveniently, and it's easy. So I could imagine a winner of a race being in their lounge in the pits somewhere without a bandwidth issue, because there's not going to be lots of fans, doing a Zoom conversation. And I'm sure NHRA is working on that. Those of you who wanted to hear Kevin Harvick, by the way, his audio is in our archive. There's more NASCAR tonight at Martinsville, and then they're coming to Homestead Miami Speedway. Tomorrow night, Wednesday. And then Sunday we'll be down here at Homestead Miami Speedway without fans. Now, let's see. Don wants to know, thanks for being there for our drag racing Jones. Hi from Don in Connecticut. Hey, Don, how are you? Marvin wants to know about block parties and fan fest. Like, those are up to local government, I think. That is really right in line with local government. And I'm eager to just let them sort that out.
Yeah, I am as well. I honestly don't know that. You know, everything right now is kind of case by case, and it's zip code by zip code, really. So as of right now, I don't know how much of that is in the equation. You know, I don't know. I don't believe anything's planned for Indy. Let me just put it that way. Our soft launch is really, let's get cars on the track. Let's figure out what we need to do to be able to put cars on the track, to be able to go racing again. And then once we expand out of that circle, my guess would be the first time that we'll find out something about things like FanFest will be when we get to Denver. I mean, obviously, the big block party in Golden, Colorado has been a tradition for many years. Will that be able to happen? Will it be suspended? At this point, I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure they know. You know, they're still a month out, more than a month out from when the race is planning to take place there. So, you know, time will tell. If the local government will let them, I'm sure they would love to. If the local government says, you know, this is not a bad idea, then, you know, maybe we have to take a year off.
Well, exactly. Well, you know, what are you there for? For instance, like Steve says, too slow and boring, but the Russian power of drag racing, now that's addictive. I don't know what he's referring to, though. Is he talking about Super Comp and Super Gas? Is he talking about our conversation? He could be talking about anything for all I know, but I get his addictive nature of the sport of drag racing. It's pretty amazing.
If he's talking about Super Comp and Super Gas, you know what? That's what NHRA is beautiful. We got something for everybody. I love the... You know, I've been doing some Reinhardt Reveal stuff from here in my shop, just doing some stuff for NHRA Social and other things. And I love when I put up something. There's a brand new one that went up this morning about Pro Stock. And one of the first comments that came up was, well, it's Pro Stock. Who cares? Nobody gives a damn about Pro Stock. It's just a waste of time. It's like, well, you took the time to watch it. You took the time to comment. I mean, you didn't care, right? Wouldn't you go? As soon as I saw Pro Stock, delete. But that's okay. We've got stuff for the Top Fuel guys, if that's what you like. We've got stuff for everybody. And that's, again, that's the beauty of NHRA. We've talked about it 100 times. No place else can you go to a professional sporting event and watch every class from Little League, or in our case, the Summit Junior Drag Racing League, all the way up to Top Fuel on the same day, on the same racetrack. It just can't happen any place other than NHRA. And if there's something about the show that you're not, it's not your favorite, that's okay. That's why we got everything. Because you just pick out your favorite.
I learned a long time ago, you know, people mock what they do not understand. It's just the way it is. And I, okay, yes, .90 racing. Is it the most exciting form of racing because of, you know, wild car control and you don't know which direction they're going to go and they could end up in the wall? No, that's not really what it's about. It's about driver ability and talent. But once you know what you're looking for, I think it can be very exciting, especially if you're camped out right around 1320, watching those drivers looking over at that point, regardless if most of them are going 165 miles per hour. Some are going 185 miles per hour. So it's all about your perspective. Now, Jalen wants to know, for both of us, what is your favorite class to watch and why? That's a nice little question. It's kind of basic stuff. Go ahead, Alan. Yeah. You go first.
Yes.
Yes, he says yes, all of them. Right, all of them.
You know, I really don't have a favorite. I spent a lot of time in the Pro Stock world. I love those cars. I love, you know, they don't blow up and catch on fire and flip over backwards. But I know what it takes to be competitive in that class, and that to me is very intriguing. Obviously, the smoke and thunder and power of the Nitro cars off the charts. You know, I'm a motorcycle guy. I ride. I appreciate what they do out there on the motorcycles. All the way down to, you know, you talk about the .90 card. Okay, let me just, if we can circle this back around.
Circle.
You know what it takes? You know what it takes to win in the .90 classes? A technician.
Oh, there you go.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because the old days of the guy who sit there with a, you know, screw under his pedal and trying to do, and Ed DeStout, I love you, but, you know, you also have stepped up a little bit in technology. You know, if you want to be effective in a .90 car, you need a weather station. You need to pay attention to the wind. You need to pay attention to the different variables. How long ago was the track sprayed can have an effect on how fast your car runs. And when you're trying to tune down to the less than a hundredth of a second, if you want to be successful in one of those categories, that takes a technician. You've got to be able to figure out all of the variables and make your adjustments, because you can't necessarily control all of those variables. So you've got to figure them out, and you've got to make the adjustments to compensate for it, and that takes a technician.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's very challenging for me because I love stock and super stock with a variety of cars, monster wheel stands. They're super fast. Samtech Factory Stock Showdown, of course. But if, you know, if I'm going to call out one class, like I always call out pro stock, because to me, there's the most going on with everything, like the driver, the shifting, the hole shots, the reaction time, the drama, all of that. I just love pro stock. I would like more variety in terms of manufacturer and cars. Yes. I remember when I became a pro stock fan, you know, WJ had the Hurst Olds and there were Firebirds and Camaros and Bob Glidden in his Ford. There was like this big variety, which we now see in Factory Stock Showdown. But the finer points of pro stock, you know, launching with a clutch, shifting the gears, races coming down to, you know, tens of thousands of a second. I really like that. Now, does that mean I like it that much better than the Nitro ranks? No, that's not what I'm saying. You asked for one, and there it is. And Dave says, I should have said the jet cars. Fire!
See, I think there's something you can love about every category. And again, we've got something for everybody. If you are a late model, a high-tech, computer-controlled, you know, let's get the latest technology out there on a racetrack, then you know what? The Samtec Showdown, that's your class, right? I mean, it doesn't get any more high-tech than that with new generation muscle cars and modern technology. You know, you talked about stock and super stock, and everybody by now, I'm sure, knows that I still have my 67 Mustang from high school. I needed to buy some front tires for the drag race front tires, okay? Because this thing is going to see some track action. And I legitimately went back to the Goodyear guys and I said, hey, and the guy said, what size? And I went,
yeah,
I don't know. Let me get back to you. So there are plenty of these Mustangs that are out there on a racetrack. So just by dumb luck, Richie Pauly and Alvey were, Dennis Alvey were in the staging lanes. They were chit-chatting next to each other, right? They both have 68 big block Mustangs. And I went over and I said, hey, guys, while you're here, quick question. I'm looking to buy a set of front tires for my 67 Mustang, and I'm not sure what size to get. I said, oh, well, that's easy. You know, in qualifying, you're going to want to run the 31-inch tall tire because, you know, you get the extra rollout and it'll be 200s faster. You know, if you're running class, you want now when you get into race time, you want to cut that thing down. Depending on how hard your car leaves, you might want to go to a 27-inch tire. You go to a 28. If you really split the difference, they come in halves as well, but that'll get you a little bit more rollout. It'll help your reaction time. Now, you're going to have to compensate with your dial in because you're going to be about 300 slow by not. And I'm going, guys, time out. What fits in the wheel well? That's all. And they're like, well, no, you've got to decide exactly what you're trying to do this round in order to know what tire you want to put on the front.
On the front. Right. And that's exactly it. That's stock eliminator. That's everybody, a professional in anything. I always go back to Tiger Woods when he did that commercial that everybody knows where he clicked the ball off the head of the club like 10, 15 times and then launched it and said, you know, I'm Tiger Woods, go buy Nike or whatever. And he did it in one take. And he came in like, what do I got to do? Yeah, you got to clip the ball off this club a bunch of times and then drive it out there without it touching the ground and then say something into the camera. I was like, all right, pros in anything, like people who devote their lives to anything are way up here with their talent and ability. And they're out there in stock eliminator and you see those cars out there and you're like, oh, glue cars, they're going slow. Those guys put their lives into it.
You and I were talking, I believe it was in Gainesville, whatever, been a few years ago, right? You've got your Firebird out, you're working, it's like, man, it just should be a little faster.
Yes.
It seems like and what's the first question I asked?
The brakes. Like, have you checked your brakes? Like, how does it roll?
How does it roll?
And I was like, I don't know how it rolls. And then went home and did a whole exhaustive deal, and I ended up going through the brakes. And that wasn't exactly the issue, but I made it better, whatever it was. It became improved because of that conversation.
But that's where you got to start. You know, if you ever watch somebody pushing a stock car in, you know, whether they're pushing the staging lanes because they got a heads up or whether they're pushing it into the winner's circle, as a general rule, it's not eight guys going, it's one or two guys going.
Yep.
Because those cars roll very easily. That's a big part of the performance. You don't want to have any brake drag. You don't want to have, you know, a tight gear set in the rear end. You've got to look and seek out all that stuff. If you want to be one of the cool kids, if you want to be one of the fast guys.
Yes, which I always like to do. Okay, a couple questions out there. Courtney Enders mentioned Erica Enders masks. Do you know how I can get one? I would definitely hit Courtney up or Erica up on their social media. I don't know exactly if that's at nitrofishracing.com as the Erica t-shirts are, but that would be a good place to check. Al wants to know what you did.
Send me an email. I'll give you Erica's cell phone number.
There it is.
I'm kidding.
Hey, this is Al. Alan Reinhart gave me your number. Yeah, where do I get one of those masks? Al wants to know, what pro stock teams did you crew on? You have a great history working on pro stock cars.
Well, I worked for David Nickens in the shop. This is, you know, starting in the late 90s and then the first few years into the new century. I spent most of my time in the shop. I was at the time still announcing the NHRA races, but I did spend a lot of time going testing with them. There were a few times when we would be out at the track, and if I wasn't announcing, and at the time back then, there were, you know, times when I might take off two or three races a year, where I would help usually one of the engine lease customers. And if, you know, Joe Costello, if you're leasing an engine from us that weekend, then, you know, I come with the engine. Okay. After we make the run, then when we come back, I'm the one that's going to check all the valve springs and run the lash and make sure that everything's right. And it's up to you to take care of the rest of the car. You know, what you're leasing from us is the engine, and you come with an engine guy. But, most of what I've done hands-on was with Nickens. I've been out at the racetrack a few times when other guys are testing and thrown in kind of a hand here and there. But as far as actually, you know, crewing on a car, most of it has been with David, which was, you know, obviously we had Scott Jeffrey on, Darrell Alderman, Gene Wilson, Mark Osborne. And I spent a lot of time at the racetrack when we were out testing with them, because nobody tests more than those guys do. And then I did spend a weekend as a crewman working for the Colettas one time, where I was doing the left side cylinder head. And the beauty of that is that once you work with the Colettas, you're a lifetime employee. So I get to go to the Christmas party every year. I've got, you know, kind of the secret handshake and the backstage pass. But no, as far as pro stock goes, almost exclusively with the Dodge team is who I worked for. There were a couple of times when I'd go out and lend a hand to somebody else, but I never technically worked for them.
Got it. Copy. Jason Logan out there just wanted to say hi, Alan. Hi, Alan. He says that. And, you know, he's on this thing called Cameo. Do you know about that? That Cameo deal?
I do know about that. I also, why does he always sit in front of a Chicago Cubs banner when he's doing your happy hour show?
Well, because...
Isn't he in Orlando?
He is in Orlando, but he does a decent Harry Carey impression, and that's his Cameo hook. He thinks that by doing Harry Carey, and so he's got the Cubs thing there. But anyway, I'm tying it together because clearly people out there want to hear your attention in the pits to the lanes, like Doug saying he hasn't heard stock to the lanes for too long. He wants you to do that. Everybody wants you to do that. This needs to be your Cameo thing. For the low, low price of $25, you can get...
No, $8 million.
What's that?
$8 million.
$8 million. But I was going to say you could call out his name, like you know, attention to the pits, Doug. Report to the staging lens. You'll do that for individuals, and it only costs how much to do it for a person? We don't need Cameo to do that.
$8 million.
$8 million, and Alan.
Then Ryan, I only have to do it once.
That's it.
I don't have to do it 10,000 times for the rest of my life. Find the one guy, $8 million, and you'll have an exclusive. I promise you.
There you go. Shout out for Sherman Adcock, of course. And Jalen's got one more question. What is your perfect day for racing temperature-wise? Okay. For an example, I love waking up during a race weekend and looking outside, and it's an overcast, and the high for the day is about 65 degrees. I know I'll see some quick times Maple Grove weather without rain, LOL, as if there is that.
I was going to say 72, but I could go for that. 65, I think... Depending on where you are in the country, I think 65 can be a little chilly for the fans. I want to be in the low 70s so everybody can be in a T-shirt, not need the sweatshirt, not need to carry the jacket around all day. Now, I realize in a lot of places in the country, 65 is that kind of weather. But remember, I live in southern Arizona, so 65 for me is bundled up like the Michelin man.
Jacket weather, exactly.
Yeah, I could, you know what, anywhere between, I'll tell you what, above 65 and below 80.
Yes. Exactly. Mike Heiner says you should make ringtones, Alan, like the ring, the phone is ringing and it's like to the top. Right? I think you should do it. I think we're all in on the creative idea. No, don't poo-poo it. Okay, so now back to some serious questions here. For instance, like the news about class eliminations at the U.S. Nationals. That is a bummer. They're going to award the quickest car in each class, but that is a bummer, as in class eliminations are not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen this year. And I know that there are a lot of class racers that are disappointed about that. I can tell you, I'm disappointed about it. I mean, I love when we do stock and super stock class eliminations. Lones and I, for the last couple of years, have had a ton of fun with that. But it's just the reality of the situation is this. The event overall has been shortened a little bit. and there's just not going to be enough time, you know, with the All-Stars coming in there, with the Mickey Thompson Pro Bike Battle coming in there.
And that's breaking news, by the way. Breaking news.
Yeah, there are going to be just a lot of other events that got moved to Indy simply because of the way the rest of the schedule is. And believe me, for the hardcore, if anybody out there is thinking, oh, well, that's it, NHRA is throwing away Class 1, that's not true. This is this year, because we are in unique circumstances and we're having to make adjustments for it. So I hate the fact that we're not going to get to watch 14A automatics battle it out. Now, whether or not the Hemi Challenge will still take place, I don't know that. That is technically class elimination, but it also has kind of taken on a life of its own. So I don't know for a fact whether or not the Hemi Challenge will still be something. I hope it will, but if it's not, it'll just be a one-year vacation.
Mike Heiner saying track temp needs to be above 70 degrees to really get after it in terms of pro stock. And Jason Logan called.
Yeah, but you can have 68 degrees air temperature. Hey, Mike, 68 degrees air temperature, track temp 75, barometer 31, humidity 22%. How fast can you go?
Hear that, Mike? How fast can you go? Said, give us an ET. There it is. Jason Logan says you don't do shout outs or birthday requests, Alan, so you can't be on Cameo. You can't.
I don't do them at the national events. I don't want to end up being half my job.
Yes, that is true. Okay, so yes.
By the way, it's not that I won't do birthday requests or shout outs. All you have to do is write it on the back of a pro stock window and it'll happen.
Exactly. Or a $20 bill.
You know, mine are just more difficult to attain. They're not impossible.
That makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. All right, here's that breaking news that you just mentioned. And it was mentioned earlier today on NHRA.com, but the email has just showed up in my email box while we're doing this. And it's Mickey Thompson Tires Pro Bike Battle to be contested at the Denso Spark Plugs NHRA U.S. National. So first of all, how about Denso coming on with the big go, which is great. Lisa from Denso has been diving in more and more into the sport of NHRA drag racing, obviously with Matt and with Angie first and then Matt and a lot of different aspects of it. They are on with KB Racing as well. But now the U.S. Nationals, Denso Spark Plugs, thank goodness for them. And eight of the best riders in class will compete for $25,000. And that's going to happen at the big go. This terrible situation that we're all dealing with has made the U.S. Nationals very unique this year, with the JEGS All-Stars going to be there, the Pro Bike Battle going to be there. We're losing some things, but we're gaining some things. 2020 is going to be its own unique race, one-off for the ages.
That's exactly it. You know, when we were talking, actually on the Beer with Gary Selzy show, we were talking about, right, the guys, the whole this era, you know, well, you know, back in my day, boy, it was way more fun and it was way more exciting. And, you know, you kids don't know what you missed. Well, you know, when I was in the early days of my career, I was hearing that from everybody. And there will be a time, I promise you, somewhere down the road where you'll be telling the new guys, back in 2020, It was crazy what we had to do, what we had to go through in order just to make the season happen. So don't be whining about the fact that we had two rainouts in a row. We got to go here and go, because I was in there. You're going to hear this. I was there back in 2020 when this happened, when, you know, the new generation in 2042 is going, here we go again.
These old
right?
guys.
Through the snow, uphill both ways.
Yeah, barefoot. Okay, Heiner wants the numbers again. And I think you said 70 degrees track, 75 air, and what was the barometer?
No, 68 air.
68 air.
35 barrow, or 31 barrow. 25% humidity.
Okay. Calculate those numbers, Mike Heiner. Step on it. And while he does that, somebody wants to say hello to you. Okay. Somebody wants to say hello to you. Oh, he's out in the streets getting ready to
What's up, Alan Reinhart?
Hey, Jason.
Jason Logan, center your camera, son. Center your camera.
I'm trying to. Hold on.
Right is left that? And left is right.
Where are you?
Yeah. I'm in Orlando. I got a new job. It's called Uber Eats.
You're delivering Uber Eats.
Delivering.
That's great. So if you're
it's
in
the worst. Now, are you kidding me?
Do you make them play a game for it? Okay,
you know
before
what?
You get lasagna, can you name this tune from a 1980s TV show?
Right?
I like it.
So, yeah, I'm doing runs. This is how I got to make some money here. I got to pay for some food.
I appreciate the work ethic. Jason, your work ethic is second to none. You're out there doing Uber Eats. If we have any listeners out there in Orlando, please call and order something from Uber Eats right now, and maybe you'll get Jason.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I got my Courtney Enders face mask on.
I see it.
Staying safe.
I see it. No, that's very safe. That's very smart.
I like that. You realize Courtney Enders doesn't even respond to my text anymore. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do about that girl.
What did you do to her?
I sent her a nice text over the weekend. Just kind of, you know, hey, I hope all is well. Just thinking about you. And got nothing.
Huh.
Got nothing.
You know what? I texted her the other day, too, and I got nothing from her. Well, actually, I did get something from her, but a picture. Said, that's about it.
That's it.
So give me a Harry Carey. Joe said that the reason you got the Cubs banner is because you got the Harry Carey thing going.
Hey, Alan Reinhart, man. You're a spectacular announcer. I like what you do out there on those NHRA things, you know, calling those real fast cars. Heck, I remember back in my day when I was calling games for the Chicago Cubs. They used to sound like this. Hey, Sean Dunston with a double up left center field. Holy cow, that was amazing. That's kind of like what you do, Alan. When you tell those people they're going straight to the top. That's awesome, man. People love that from you out there. Alan Reinhart, everybody.
Well, plus me and Harry, we're both Bud men. Yes. I might not be a Cub fan, but I am definitely a Bud man.
Just like that.
Hey, that's right. I'm a Cub fan and a Bud man.
There he is. Jason must have got a phone call. That's what happens when you get a phone call or a text or something. The screen just goes black. But now he's back.
I gotta figure out how to get to this lady's house. Jessica's got Jersey Mike's on the way. That's what's happening, Joe. So I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Okay. Later, Jason. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thanks for checking in, man.
Alan, see you later.
There he goes.
Of course.
Jason Logan weighing in. We got a little J-Lo time in there, Alan. How about that?
Does that mean I can rock my way into a happy hour next time it's those two, and I can, you know, just jump in and bust his chops back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Selzy one was the perfect timing, though. You already devote so much time to WFO programming. To get you in on one was, which is the right moment, because timing is everything, as you know. And that was just perfect. Like, I'm still getting positive tweets, retweets, and emails about the Selzy show, which is now like 2 weeks ago. People loved that thing. And
the crazy thing about that, you talk about timing, is the fact that he and I had just had lunch like a couple of days before that. You know, I probably hadn't seen him in a year, but he was in Tucson. Gio was racing here in Tucson the weekend prior to him doing the happy hour show. And so we met at a local restaurant here and had lunch and caught up a little bit. And 4 days later, we get to bust each other's chops on the radio.
Exactly. All right. Heiner has completed the calculations. Killing it. 68 air temp, 25% humidity, 31 barometer, would be minus 966, 639 with an 8, 215.5 corrects to 644.1, 214.26.
I said 646. He said 644.1?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's good. He must have made a perfect run. Mine just rattled a little bit at the top of low gear, and that cost me about 100.5. So I was at a 46.
Man, that would be nice. What is nice, though, is that we're at this. We had Robin.
Hey, let me tell you something. Yes. You know what that is? That's a technician.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's a technician. That's a guy that knows a whole lot more than just unbolt this and bolt that on.
Yeah, no, that is. You're driving home the point big time there, because we had Mike on a few weeks ago, and the level of knowledge, of course, but then the depth of thought, right? Like how to get there from here, like what's the best way, etc. Amazing. And they've been working there. Now that we've had the second off season, they had like a mini season and able to go back and think about where they were. And from what I understand, the Dinos have been running this whole time. I'm eager. You may recall at that World Door Slammer Nationals, they were setting some incredible ETs. Speaking of the air, the conditions, though, they were great. And now we're in the middle of the summer. But I am looking forward to seeing what they can do when we return. And the second half of the conclusion of the season, we're going to see some big ETs out there.
Well, you never stop working in a pro stock shop. You know, the one thing when I was with David, and it's still the same to this day, if there wasn't a race on the calendar, you would never be ready. There's always one or two more things you want to do. But there comes a time when it's like, okay, look, let's just put the stuff we got in the trailer. Let's go. Let's race. We'll work on this when we get back. And, you know, I don't believe that, you know, this time off has had any of the engine guys, for sure, laying on the beach anyplace. They're all, if it's allowed in their local and where they are, then they have all been in the shop. They've all been working. They've all been looking for stuff, because that's a constant. And, again, if it's allowed, there have been some testing going on in a few places as well. I know that A few of the tracks have been able to open for testing, even kind of at the height of this, because if it's a situation where it's like, okay, look, we need to go test the pro stock car, we're going to have five people on our team, and we're going to be the only ones at the racetrack. And so vast majority of the tracks have been allowed to at least do that. You know, you might not have been able to put a couple hundred people in there for a bracket race, but if you had five people coming out on a team because they wanted to test, and so that's been happening, and that's how you stay in front of the game. It'd be interesting. Ask Greg Anderson sometime if he makes more run testing or competing during the course of the year, and I think you'd be surprised at the answer.
Well, exactly. I have a call in to Greg for Thursday. I don't know if it's going to happen just yet. We're working on it, but that is my hopeful guest at 4 p.m. on Thursday, in addition to Caleb Cox, who works for Cruz Pedregon. And then Friday's cocktail guest is hopefully going to be Dominic Lagana and a couple of other all-stars surrounding Dom. So going to be yeah, exactly. And that show has been, it's kind of its own thing now. People are looking forward to drinking. Yeah, add alcohol, right? Drag racers and a bar setting and alcohol. What's worse than that? Mike Heiner says they're going to have a new car when they come back, FYI.
Ah, okay. Well, yes. See, there you go. And the work continues. And there's no way when that new car comes out of the trailer, that's going to be the first time it's been on the racetrack. So they're going to have to go someplace, let the clutch out 10 times or 12 times or 25 times to get comfortable with that new car before they put it on the racetrack. So yeah, the work is constant when you're racing in pro stock.
Now, we did have a couple of Lucas Oil Series events this past weekend out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Craig Bourgeois over Don Thomas and Comp Eliminator. Division 2 was in action at Atlanta Dragway. So the Lucas Oil Series is moving and grooving now.
Yeah, they are getting back to it. And again, you know, with a situation like that where, for the most part, that's a participant event. I believe they had spectators in Oklahoma. I think they had a very limited number down in Atlanta. But, you know, with an event like that, you can start getting back to the racetrack. And that's part of where you learn what the protocols need to be, you know, as far as the starting line gatherings, as far as different things like that, before we get out there with the professional classes that's going to happen in Indy. So, you know, the ball is starting to roll a little bit. It might not be going as fast as some of us want it. Since, you know, those of us that make a living in racing, it's never going fast enough.
Right.
But it is going in the right direction. So we'll get there. We just need to hang in there. It's good to see that the Lucas competitors are getting back in action on a more regular basis.
Absolutely. Jenny Treadwell won Comp Eliminator in Division 2. All right. So a week ago, we talked about, you know, me going bracket racing at some point. I intend to go Saturday to Palm Beach, formerly Moroso Motorsports Park, years ago. Great facility. The only thing that I would prefer, I would love if they had an NHRA sanction, you know, because I'm an NHRA guy, and all the tracks I've raced at have really been NHRA tracks, but it's the closest track, really the only track available. So I wanted to show you the car that I'll be running. This is my dad's GTO 2005. One of the Australian, Holden Monaro, but it's rebadged a GTO, dual exhaust, air scoops, etc. LS2 for power. It's got the LS2, and it's got K&N. Speaking of K&N, in the back thing, it's got cold air intake, and it's got a tune. That's exactly right. And I have already made some phone calls, and I hear that you just got to run it at full temperature, is what they say. Just make sure it's warm to operating temperature, and it'll be relatively consistent. And I'm getting ready to go out there. But the best part is this, something that I have been excited about I've been talking about for years and am now excited about. And I think we've talked about the entry level, like the hurdles to entry for bracket racing. Like, how do you take a test and tune guy who just wants to go down the track and make him a bracket racer? And I always said that these, you know, no box, no electronics categories where you've got a 9-second chassis car and the guy's off the bottom and he's going up against me and my GTO is going to be a hurdle to entry for the guy in the GTO, because there's just not going to feel like he's got an equal fair opportunity. Well, apparently they have changed the category to street, called sportsman, like in the old days. And you got to drive in, no trailered cars, none of that. 11 seconds and up. Everybody else runs eighth mile. We're going to run full quarter mile, which is also something exciting, because I don't care what the car runs in the eighth mile on a street car like that. It's barely rolling at that point. And so I get quarter mile. I get to run up against other street cars without electronics, and the entry fee is $35, which is considerably lower than what I had been paying. Gates open 8 a.m. Time runs start at 10. First round at like noon. After I win the thing, I'm kidding. I don't want to talk smack like that. If I can get a couple rounds and watch whoever wins win, I think I'll be out of there by 4 p.m. That sounds like a great day of racing. I'm going to do it. I intend, weather permitting, I intend to document it on our social channels, either Instagram or Facebook or WFO or otherwise. Everybody should like them. But I'm excited. This is going to be the first time I've actually tried to bracket race in over a year.
No, that's cool. And, you know, you should go in. You should go in with confidence. I mean, you know, a little cocky never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And I also think if, you know, pay attention to guys that do this for a living and guys like Luke Bagacki, you know, that one of the things that was in one of his articles that I read, you know, I'm going through my old National Dragsters while I got nothing else to do. And I read one of his articles the other day, and I'm paraphrasing here. And he was talking to some sports psychologist, some guy that he got the quote from, and said that positive thinking is not a guarantee of positive performance, but negative thinking is a guarantee of negative performance.
Ah.
You know, if you go in and go, well, this will never work, yeah, you're exactly right. But if you go in and go, I came to kick your tail, then you're already one step ahead of, if you pull up and look over at that 9-second chassis car and go, I ain't got a chance, you're right, you ain't got a chance. I know that when I was bracket racing and in the little ponds I bracket raced in a million years ago, way back when I was doing okay, I kind of made it a point. You know, I'd pull up and bump that first light on and look at the guy in the other lane and go, sucks to be you. And that was just something that mentally helped get me in the game, right?
Sure.
Picture the win. And you need to go in there. You need to go into that not thinking, well, if I just go a round or two, because once you win the second round, then your brain shuts off.
Yes.
You go, okay, I did what I accomplished. You know, I accomplished my goal. How soon can I leave? What time's the pizza line open? And you can't do that. You got to go in there going, 4 o'clock is when they're giving out trophies. That's where I'm going to be. And it may not happen, but you can't go in with a negative attitude. It's like people that gamble, right? I'm using props again.
Yes.
People that gamble. How many people do you know that had gone to Vegas, you know, oh, how'd you do last night? Oh, well, you know, I ended up losing $100. Oh, that's like, you know, I was up 350 at one point, and then I gave it all back. Why? Because mentally, you walk in with the mental attitude, I got $100 to lose. So that's what I came for. I came to lose $100.
Came now, to lose
$100. You might win $300, but you came to lose $100. So you're going to sit there until you lose it. And if you're going to gamble, you need to go in there with two numbers in mind. You need to tell yourself, if I get down 100, I'm going to quit. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back tomorrow. But if I get up 250, I'm taking my winnings and I'm going to get the hell out of there. Because if you sit there long enough, they will get it back from me. But mentally, if you go up there, if you go into this going, yeah, if I go a couple of rounds, I'll be happy. Then after you win the second round, your brain goes, mission accomplished. We don't have to do this anymore. And you'll lose the third round.
That is an excellent, very golfish, right? My thought is I don't have a spot. I haven't run the car. But you're absolutely correct. I should go in there to attack. And the last time I took like a 7-year layoff, I did go out there and runner up first time out. So anything is possible. Beginner's luck all over again. It happens. All right. And now is the time where one lucky listener gets to feel the amazing thrill of the randomness of Alan Reinhardt's slot machine. And I have selected Dale Renner is going to be the guy. Dale, if Alan Reinhardt gets 3 spins, if it wins anything on any spin, I will send you one of these fantastic WFO radio masks in the mail. No charge to you. Alan, you may begin.
Okay, wait a second. I'm gonna go rogue on you here, okay?
Yeah, go rogue. The show is rogue.
I want to be able to see the reels.
This is the real slot machine experience.
Can you see the reels?
Yes. Cocktails, all right. Cocktails. All right, here it is.
That's a win.
There it is. It's going haywire.
Only one haywire. Sometimes it'll go 10 haywires.
It doesn't matter. Dale has won a WFO mask. Dale, please direct message me through Facebook or send an email to joe@wforadio.com. Indicate that it is you and send me your address. And I will send you this incredible WFO radio mask along with some WFO radio stickers. And this is a great victory. Alan, your slot machine always pays. It's like this thing is...
so far, what are we, 3 for 3, right?
3 for 3. Loose slots, buddy. Loose slots, which is fine because we want to give away the masks. That's what's going on. Alan, thank you so much. Great job, as usual. Any final thoughts? Anything we missed?
No, I think we got most of it this week. I just want to throw in again, if there's anybody that's watching this later on during the week when we're not live, you have a question or you have a comment, fire it at me, announcer@nhra.com, and I certainly can get in touch with Joe if you need something from him. But more than happy to answer your questions or do whatever we can do for you. That's what we're here for.
There you go. And Dale says, thank you. Thank you, guys. Awesome. He's just won a WFO radio mask. Dale, send me that information direct message. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
There he goes. The NHRA's Alan Reinhart. This was fun. We used to do like 25. Now we do 40 minutes on a rig on the phone. Now all of a sudden we got props. We got slot machines. We're giving away stuff. All right, Marvin says, a new trophy coming for the WFO Radio studios, like our WFO Radio Fantasy League trophy and my track champion trophies. Very interesting little lesson there. I want to expand on that. When I go to the casino, my limit is $100. Whenever from $100 I keep, I always come home with money. Yeah, exactly. But I can tell you, though, that was bad advice that I did. I was sitting at a table playing blackjack in the Link with Jason Logan. And... The table caught fire. Like, we had this amazing dealer, and I was just feeling it, and everything was going great, and I'm making moves, and I'm just winning. Like, I can't lose, and I'm winning, and I'm winning, and I'm winning, and I'm winning. And I'm playing units in that, like, once I upped my bet times a multiple of 4, I started taking back half to build my pile, et cetera, and so on, a little system that I would do. And I walked out of there. I ended up winning, I think it was it 700? Was it 900? Whatever. It was a great sitting at the table. And I felt great, and I walked around as a winner for the rest of the weekend. This was last year in the spring race in Vegas. And I felt great about it. It was fantastic. And then as time went by, I thought, you know, I should have pressed harder. I should have pressed harder in that moment because I felt it happening. Now, I know everybody feels it happening, and that's when you give it all back. And that's what it's all about. You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. And I took my money that day. But his idea about you should always think about preparing mentally to go to the final and win it, I like that. Because there is going to be some sort of ease up. Like, if I go out there and I somehow, in my one and only time run, hit the tree and go 30. And then I got a spot, and I just hit that spot for the rest of the day, and I'm 30. And then I go 2 rounds. I don't want to start feeling, like, satisfied. Like, man, 2 rounds, this was great. Man, I can't wait to tell all my friends I went 2 rounds. No, I need to go and win the thing. Plus, everyone's going to be running quarter mile. They're normally running eighth mile. They're going to be a little out of sorts. No one has raced in months and months and months. No, he's right. Good job, Alan. You got me motivated to go out there and try to fake my way to the winner's circle. Nonetheless. All right. You guys out there, really appreciate you. Who would like some free WFO radio stickers? I just went to the P.O. Box, bunch of envelopes in there. Castello Media/WFO stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address on your screen, P.O. Box 848-353, and I will send you some WFO radio stickers just like these. I got to get it right. You can't hold things up upside down. That's very bad when you hold something up upside down. WFO radio podcast stickers for your car, for your head, whatever you want to do with them. Also, big thanks to our sponsors, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, offering that 20% off discount. It's coming to a close, though, very soon. You need to get on at Total Seal, whether it be their ultimate precision or their gas-ported rings. They've got a lot of great things. Had Lake Speed Jr. on Performance TV this past week. It was great. Also, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, Marvin Rodak. The coffee. Every time I do this, like, the aroma hits me, and I'm like, oh, I need coffee. It is so good. You can ask for the WFO radio blend or Bang the Blower or something exotic. He's got everything. Like, Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee, he's got everything down there in Fort Worth, Texas. By the way, if you're in Fort Worth, you can go by the shop. You can watch him roast some coffee. You can purchase an outdoor kitchen. They have all of that stuff at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Also want to mention NitroFishRacing.com, 20% off all of their stuff, whether it be the 10th anniversary WFO radio t-shirt. Someone earlier was inquiring about Erica Enders, 3-time Pro Stock World Champion t-shirt. The Jason Line retirement tour gear is all available at Nitro Fish Racing, and the promo code WFO20 will get you that 20% off. Steve Brenwald, Brenwald Media. He offered, Steve immediately offered to help Steve Johnson out. Steve Johnson putting out that Jock Strong t-shirt with the proceeds going to Jock and COVID-19, et cetera, and so on. That was a great deal. If you didn't see that show, pretty amazing. Steve Brenwell doing some great things. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, frankhawley.com. Frank in Atlanta, big help to WFO. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. And, of course, coming on for a couple of weeks here on WFO, Holly Performance, EFI, gauges, dashes, all kinds of products. Holly doing some great things in the performance world, and they're going to get you out ahead of the competition. That's a show you're going to want to go back and listen to so you can hear Robin Lawrence and Blaine Burnett as we really dove into the world of electronic fuel injection and all the great products they have got at holly.com. You could definitely check them out and see what's up. Holly.com. That's going to bring us to a close. WFO Radio, what a show. You can always email me, joe@wforadio.com. And thanks to everybody. Thanks to Carl, 72 Olds, fake it till you make it. I was at that race, four wides, Vegas. Yeah, no, well, the energy was just tremendous. And Dale is going to send me that message, no mask. Dale, it's on you, brother. Oh, we missed that one. Shirt from Bahrain. And let's try to hit the tree. Where's my button? Here we go. See, it's set on Pro Tree right now. Right? See? Starting off slow. Just got to hit it. Just got to hit it. Here we go. Next hit. 465 both times. I have consistency. That's always been my move. I got to get tuned up to go quick, but I've always been real consistent. I'm going to light on the button now. All right. Going in the right direction. 44. Got to pick it up. Pick it up. I've had this button. It's like a video game button for years. It's very, very slow. I'm making excuses. But out there on Saturday, weather permitting, I'll be swapping feet off the bottom with the GOAT. Oh, yeah, the GOAT. Oh, I'm excited about it. If you got any other tips, by all means, let me know. 15,000 miles on that thing. Anybody want to buy it? Yeah, think about that. Got to do a little work on the headlights. But other than that, we're ready to go. All right, everyone. Final thoughts. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Caleb Cox, Thursday. Other guests. Friday, Dom Lagana. We're going to have fun. We'll see you then. WFO.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey everybody, Joe here, and I hereby decree on behalf of the WFO universe, the winter is over, which means it's time to grill. Get yourself some Rodax Coffee and Grills.com, barbecue, spice rub, hot sauce, and of course, incredible coffee. They've got the WFO radio blend, they've got the Bang the Blower, they've got the exotics. It's all roasted fresh per your order, representing the top 5% of coffee throughout the world. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give Marvin a call. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, The Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch, made in America, absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com.
Hey, WFO Universe. Want to hear your favorite interviews before anyone else? I'm talking VIP access. Want to get right to the interviews? Go to patreon.com/WFO radio. You get special VIP content, early access to interviews, and get straight to the interviews on patreon.com/WFO radio. That's patreon.com/WFO radio. Become a patron. Become a WFO VIP. Do it now.
This is WFO Radio.